from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning and a happy not Wednesday. It's most definitely Tuesday. Tuesday.
Tickets are just $15.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Talking a ton of NBA today. We're going to talk a little baseball, and then we punted it. Punted it straight out of the rundown this morning.
We did.
We started talking about something else, and we're like, hey, we should take this there. We're going to talk about this instead now. So shout out to the A's and Giants, who both lost yesterday. Tough scene. The Minnesota Timberwolves did not lose yesterday. And I think I have decided, after much thought and consideration, because everybody has their favorite player in the league, right? Yeah, but that's different from your favorite player on your favorite team.
Okay.
Like, there's a, if you're a Kings fan, your favorite player in the league is probably like Domas or De'Aaron. Maybe it's Keegan.
I think
maybe
there are a lot of kids who love Keegan because of the Keegan Murray chant.
That's a great point. So, yeah, but that's your favorite. That's your favorite player on the team. But then there's like when you're watching League Pass or you're watching a national TV game or you're watching the playoffs. There's another player on a different team that you're like, gah, love that guy.
Yeah, I want that guy on my team.
Anthony Edwards is officially that. Like, it's been leaning, it's been trending that direction for a long time. But I'm just there now. I will follow Anthony Edwards to the end of the earth. I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I would die for Anthony Edwards. I just don't know.
You give up a kidney for Anthony Edwards.
If he needed one, I'd be like, yeah, I got you, bro. I'm in there. I'm all in on this guy. And whether that's face of the league or you want it, the next Michael Jordan stuff needs to relax. Like, let's calm down on that. But I just don't know when you talk about young players in the NBA right now, and we always talk about, by association, we talk about kind of the old guard phasing out, the Kevin Durant and the LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard. Like, all these guys are in their mid to late 30s now. And so now there's this new age of young star coming up through the league. And I just don't know, with all due respect to Victor Wembanyama, who is the unanimous rookie of the year, with Chet Holmgren, who got 98 of the 99 second place votes, which is insane. I don't know that there's a young player I'd rather build around right now than Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I think he's probably 1A, and then 1B is Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with somebody who takes Wemby.
Yeah. I mean, because you can see where Wemby can be the centerpiece of everything.
Yes.
But a centerpiece of everything doesn't mean that he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Anthony Edwards is proving right now he's a winner.
Yeah.
I am a winner.
He sure is.
I'm a winner.
Yeah. He's also the face of the league.
It feels like he's just...
He's like Scotty Barnes.
There's a... Oh, boy, is he.
Scotty Barnes?
There's just something about the way he plays basketball. And I rock with Wemby too. Like I said, don't get it twisted. This is not like, oh, I don't like. I think Victor Wembanyama is going to win titles in his career.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm not anti Wembanyama here, and I love the fact that he's like, why are people celebrating this? We are losing. I don't care. I am here to win basketball games. It's like, dang, I love that guy. But Ant just plays with a level of joy that. A, that's where the Michael Jordan comparison falls apart to me. Anthony Edwards smiles all the time. I never once saw Michael Jordan smile on a basketball court.
Unless he was smiling because he just absolutely ripped your soul out.
Right, exactly.
And which, stomped on it like three times.
Which Ant does, but I think with a healthy respect for his opponent, with the idea that like this is a show and I'm performing for the crowd, I love everything about everything Anthony Edwards is doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about a kid, he's 22 years old. And you just see that there's still an unlimited ceiling.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he goes, you know, because his game is, you know, like there are other players that are similar in style, but not in force.
Yeah.
And that's where I think he's taking it. Like, again, Donovan Mitchell has a lot of the same game. He's not as big, but a lot of the same game. It's just that he doesn't always play with the force that Edwards does. And all of a sudden we're seeing a kid who, I mean, it's, how many times have we seen him like hit his shoulder on the backboard?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like trying to block a shot. And it's just, it's absolutely crazy. It's his athleticism, but also his balance and his strength. Yeah, he's going to be an absolute gem to watch for the next decade. He's going to be like one of the faces of the league without any question.
And the fact that he's 22, and again, this is all not, I'm typically a numbers driven person when it comes to sports. I want to be able to look at something tangible and say, this backs up my opinion.
Yep.
But there's intangible things that come with this, like, hey, this is my, because it's illogical. Like, this is my favorite guy. This is the guy I would choose to hypothetically build a team around. The fact that in this spot, this 22-year-old kid is looking at Karl Anthony Towns, who's made all-star teams in the NBA and has been around, who's looking at Rudy Gobert, who is he a Hall of Famer?
Gobert?
Yeah.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he's going to be a Hall of Famer because of the Defensive Player of the Year. And, right. And if they win a title, he'll be Ben Wallace.
Sure. So Rudy Gobert is defensive wizard, been around, been through it, been doing it.
Yeah.
Jaden McDaniels, also young, but got paid. He's a guy, Mike Conley's there, veteran, he's been around. And Anthony Edwards looked all of them in the face and was like, I got this.
Yeah.
We're going to go toe-to-toe with the Suns and beat the heck out of them. And then we're going to go into Denver, and we're going to go toe-to-toe with the defending champs, and we're going to beat the heck out of them. There's just a mindset there that I think is kind of rare.
You know what? I think how I would kind of put it out there. His mindset is so focused on winning that he has been able to take two guys that were never known as winners, and Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, and make them into winners.
That's a great point.
I mean, that's like watching Towns go like, whoa, Towns is feeding off of Anthony Edwards. He is. You can watch. All of a sudden, he's playing with a force and a physicality that he just never played with before.
It's why you and I both had, I've liked the Timberwolves, but I put them as a team that, yeah, okay, they can definitely beat the Suns in the first round. But, you know, after that, it's like, man, how much do you trust Rudy Gobert? How much do you trust Karl Anthony Towns?
You don't trust him at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
That was the miscalculation for me. Is, okay, I had no doubts about, now, did I think that Ant would play at this level through six playoff games? No, I don't think anyone did. He's been ridiculous. But I thought he could go out and be the guy for them. But it's like, man, you got to go into Denver, and it's going to be him against everybody because Kat isn't going to show up. And they're not going to get anything from Rudy Gobert offensively. They never really do. You can't trust Jaden McDaniels. Like, what is it's? I thought this would be the end of the line for them. And then you see the way Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert played in that first series. You see how they played the first two games here. And like you said, I hadn't even thought about that angle of it. But man, that is a direct response to what Anthony Edwards is doing from out front. And man, it is very, very impressive.
Yes.
The Nuggets are melting down in the way I thought the Timberwolves would. Like, that's what I expected. The technicals and the throwing stuff on the court and and all that. Like, that seems like the kind of thing that you would expect from the team that did not just make a title run and did not make several deep playoff runs before that.
Yeah, they just look like a team that's never dealt with adversity. They look like the bubble dude, you know, the guy who walks around and who's just so good looking, has no idea that there aren't good looking people like him.
Right. He doesn't know how the real world works because he's always gotten special treatment.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Like, they are not dealing with adversity well at all. And then I don't want to hear people making excuses. Well, Jamal Murray just doesn't look like he's healthy. And it's like,
because he's getting put in a straitjacket.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look like he's healthy because they're not letting him go anywhere on the court.
Yeah.
He's so frustrated. He literally threw stuff on the court. He might get suspended for game three.
I would be kind of surprised if he didn't.
I would be too.
He just threw something onto the court during the game?
I think there were multiple things that he threw on the court, but not all of it flew all the way out. Like, there were towels as well. Just lost his mind.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And that's where somebody in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, somebody in the chatty house was like, series is far from over.
Yeah.
The Nuggets got to figure it out quick. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I would call the series pretty close to over.
Mm.
If the Timberwolves get the next one?
Oh no, it's over.
It's done. Like, it's done.
Yeah.
And this Nuggets machine, this thing that you and I kept talking about, like, man, this Nuggets team looks super dominant. Just look at the way, man, they fall behind 20 to the Lakers and it's just this machine just plodding forward and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, the Timberwolves have answers. And I think the Nuggets' frustration is built from and is born out of looking around and going, oh, we don't have the horses for this.
Or if it's not, wait a sec, we're not way better than you guys?
Right.
That's what's like they're surprised.
You're just not folding when we go on a 9-0 run?
Yeah.
That's where, okay, old reliable of the Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic pick and roll. Not working. And then, okay, the Jokic, he rolls downhill and he throws that lob to Aaron Gordon. That's not working. Okay, well, Aaron Gordon will throw him on their best perimeter player and we'll just gum up their offense. Nope. Anthony Edwards is too fast for him.
Mm.
He's too big for Jamal Murray. So what? I just, all these answers that they always have for all these different teams don't work.
Yeah.
And Michael Malone is a fantastic coach. And so if you told me that the Nuggets figured this out in some way, hey, and they took one in Minnesota. They won their game at home. They won the next one in Minnesota and forced a game seven. I'm not doubting that at all. I would not be shocked. But at the same time, through two games, I don't know what that adjustment is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either what it is. And I will tell you what it can't be is Aaron Gordon pulling up and shooting mid-range jump shots.
Boy.
And taking people off the dribble. Like, everything that was happening in that game looked like it was so forced and so uncharacteristic and so regression to who you are as a bad player.
Man.
You know, typically that team rises to the occasion. They just systematically destroy you. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden there is like, oh no, like what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you got to pull them aside. Like, what are you doing? Man. Why are you pulling up for mid-range jump shots off the dribble? Like, what is happening? That's not who we allow you to be as a player on this team. And all of a sudden you're trying something new today?
They're grasping at straws.
Oh, yeah.
There's just nothing, as great as Nikola Jokic is, there's just no, he doesn't have the answer right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's out of gas. I don't know if he's still calculating how to figure out how to beat this Nuggets, this Timberwolves defense. But when I saw that Rudy Gobert was out last night for the birth of his son, congratulations to Rudy Gobert and his family. But when I saw he was out last night, I'm like, man, the Nuggets are winning this game by 20.
Yeah.
They're just, that Gobert force in the middle is not going to be there, and Jokic is going to pick them apart. And then they got blown out.
They played him off the court, which is something that has never happened.
Ever. They scored 80 points.
Yeah.
In an NBA playoff game.
We always talk about Gobert getting played off the court. Jokic got played off the court last night. They just went to Naz Reid. Like, you can't hang with Naz Reid. He's too fast for you.
Yep.
And then Karl Anthony Towns just running through people. Like, what in the world?
It is the Karl Anthony Towns transformation.
Yeah, it's wild.
Insanity.
Yeah.
And if you had told me before the playoffs, hey, you're going to get this version of the Timberwolves. You're going to get Rudy Gobert playing like a monster. You're going to get Karl Anthony Towns playing like the player that everybody's wanted Karl Anthony Towns to be for the last 7 years. Like, oh, okay, now that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. The Nuggets are against the ropes, down 0-2 in their series, heading to Minnesota. There was another playoff game last night, though, between the Knicks and Pacers. We will dive into some of that. And James had a fascinating point about the way games are being officiated right now and how that could change the way the Kings may go about their offseason. We will dive into all of that as well. Coming up on the Insiders, we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're with you on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Talking NBA playoffs, we want to remind everybody, tonight, right here on ESPN 1320, we will have Dallas at OKC, game one of that series. What is it, Chesapeake Arena?
Chesapeake
Bank Arena?
Something.
Out in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Dallas at OKC. 6 o'clock coverage begins right here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. I've been talking a lot about the NBA playoffs today. We'll sprinkle in some Kings offseason stuff in here as well. But, man, before Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves started taking over the world last night, the Knicks and Pacers had a battle at Madison Square Garden. And if you had told me that the final score of that game was going to be, what was it, 121-117?
Yeah,
121-117. If you'd been like, hey, this is going to be the final score of this game, I'd been like, wow, the Pacers pulled one out. I would not have thought, because I went into last night, and you saw it a little bit. I thought Indiana's biggest advantage in this series would be, hey, their defense doesn't need to be that great, because the Knicks just offensively, outside of Jalen Brunson, don't have a ton of, like, shot creators, reliable options, and then it turns out that they did. Josh Hart was awesome last night. Dante DiVincenzo was awesome last night. Really, really fun game, and I hope that that's how that entire series goes.
Yeah, so, Kyle, I know a lot of times we say, you know, oh, it reminds me of, like, a heavyweight fight, mm-hmm. right? That did not remind me of a heavyweight fight. It reminded me of, like, a middleweight fight. A
little bantamweight action.
That is just like guys wailing on each other, but it was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like the big shots, the creation, the like guys going at each other, like, and I thought it would actually, like, watching the pace of it, that it would have been more like 140 to 138 or something. Sure. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that the Knicks, like, they talked about it, like, during timeouts and stuff when they do those weird interviews during timeouts. I'm not sure.
When did player interviews at halftime start?
Like, I can't understand who thought that up and who said yes.
Weird,
like,
thing.
It's the weirdest thing. It's like when that time that they mic'd up Mark Canha in center field, and then he literally, oh, shoot, they just hit a ball at me. I got to go.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is happening? And then you make some mistake, and you're like, oh, look at that. It was a bad idea. But they kept talking about, yeah, we want to play fast. Like, you literally got in a track meet with track stars, and somehow you figured out how to win. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that the idea in this series should be to play the Pacers style and see if you can beat them at their style, because they are one breakout game by Tyrese Haliburton away from beating you by 40, if that's what you're going to do.
Sure.
I mean, sure. that type of pace, that's crazy.
I think the Knicks weren't ready for it last night. I don't think the Knicks went in going, hey, we're going to play their style of basketball.
Mm.
I don't think that's necessarily what they did. I just don't think that they had a good defensive game plan to slow down Indiana. And it just forced the Knicks to get out and run. A, because Indiana had a couple of really bad turnovers that got the Knicks out on the run. But man, when you're working to get a shot and you finally get one to go, and then the other team is taking the ball out of the basket and they're getting a shot off in like 6 seconds. I'm imagining it's really tough to be like, okay, hey, now let's grit. Now we're going to grind it out. Oh, there they go. Okay, hang on. We're going to try it. I don't think they had a great game plan to slow down the Pacers getting out and running.
I don't know that there is a great game plan to slow the Pacers when they are rolling, but that's why you never let them get off the ground.
Yeah.
Like, you slow the game down from the start. You punch him in the face. You go to Jalen Brunson again and again and again, and you methodically beat them early, and then that whole fun style becomes a bunch of bad three-point shots that don't work, and you beat them by 20.
I will say that's one of the things I did like about that game last night. Do you know how many combined three-pointers were shot?
No.
49.
Oh.
49 combined threes.
I think the Kings shot more than 49 in one game this season.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
At least one.
I think they shot over 50. Yeah. Like 53.
Yeah. So it wasn't like one of those 121-117 games where it's just guys just blade. Those guys getting in the paint. Jalen Brunson. I need to issue an apology. I'm sorry.
One.
No, he is. He's Jalen Brunson is that dude. And it's not been in question that he can put the ball in the basket. I had questions about how far a team could go with him as their best player. And it's clearly as far as they can win a title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm putting based on what we've seen from the Timberwolves in this playoffs and what we saw from OKC in round one and what we saw from the Knicks in the first round, I'm not taking anything off the table anymore. And Jalen Brunson, four consecutive 40-point games in the playoffs?
Wild.
Averaging 36.6 points per game in the playoffs? When there's not, when you talk about scoring options, pure scoring options, there's not a 1B on the Knicks.
No.
There is not a high, Josh Hart, excellent player. Dante DiVincenzo, with what he's done with his three-point shot over the offseason, had shot a career high from three this year. What he's done beyond the arc, phenomenal. And a great ancillary piece. But they don't have like a Jaylen Brown to Jalen Brunson's Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
All right.
That makes sense.
Okay.
They do. He's just injured.
And Julius Randle. Yeah.
Like,
sure.
they have him, but he's not there. And so for them to be able to mask it, I don't understand how you're not just walling Brunson off and taking the ball out of his hands.
You can't.
Yeah, but he's not Zion. So, you got to figure it out. You got to send two guys at him and get the ball out of his hands. I also, have you seen what they keep switching on to Halliburton just to abuse Halliburton?
Mm-hmm.
And then
we'll talk about Halliburton here in a second.
So I saw what they did. One point is they tried to do a switch and then Halliburton dropped way back off and moved back to DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo tried to set the screen. It's like, no, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And they it was like, oh, no. I mean, they are hunting Halliburton in this on the defensive end, and it's brutal to watch, and he has no answer for it at all.
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, it's tough. It's tough.
Let's put a pin in the Tyrese Halliburton thing very, very briefly. Every single time Jalen Brunson dribbles into traffic, in the paint, I go, okay, this is the time he's going to take a bad shot or turn it over. Nope. Pivot, create a little space, shoulder, fade away, bucket. Every time.
Mm.
He's ridiculous. And I apologize for saying he can't be a 1A on a title team. He very, very clearly can. Tyrese Halliburton right now cannot.
No.
And it's not just that he scored, what was it, 6 points? 6 points, dished out 8 assists, had 4 steals, 3 turnovers. He's a minus 12. This is an all-NBA player. Presumed all-NBA player. I'm assuming he's going to be third team.
Yeah, he might bump De'Aaron Fox off the all-NBA list.
Right. Tyrese Halliburton, in these playoffs, in game one of the second round, took 6 shots. He didn't score 6 because, man, he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. He's just absent. TJ McConnell was a way bigger factor last night as an offensive threat, as a scoring threat, than Tyrese Halliburton.
Mm.
TJ McConnell took 16 shots in 22 minutes. Tyrese Halliburton, 6 in 36.
Yeah, there was even the point where he started just giving the ball to Nembhard.
Good. We're good. There was a off-air warning on our TV, which is always terrifying, but it was not for our station, so we're good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, at least Nembhard. It's not us. Yeah. I mean, he was like acquiescing to Nembhard. And you're like, hey, look, man, that's not who this team is. if this team is going to win, it's got to be you. Like
that's
they
it,
were
man.
The only way they were able to keep up was to get in a track meet is to get out in transition, and we're just watching like every single one of their bigs going and dunking in transition, and that's where you know Halliburton is usually really good, but he's also incredible in the half court at breaking somebody down and throwing the lob to somebody or finding the open guy. It just wasn't there. And part of it is because he's not a scoring threat. Like, all right.
And that is where you need to be.
Yeah.
If he's going to be their best guy at some point, if you're going to be one of a team's 1A, 1B type of guys, you have to put the ball in the basket in crunch time. We say it all the time. Like, if that's what you have to be a threat to go to the hoop or to shoot a three or whatever it is he wants to do, you have to be a threat to do that. And last night he wasn't. And it makes me reconsider what I think about Tyrese Halliburton as a player. Not that I think he's bad. He's obviously a good player. But if that's what he's going to be come playoff time, if that's what he's going to be when it's tied late in the fourth quarter of a playoff game and you're on the road and your response on offense is, okay, I'm going to dribble around, I'm going to kick it over to the wing, and then I'm going to stand here at the top of the key and I'm going to distribute. Oh, I got inside the paint. Oh, hang on, let me kick it outside to Andrew Nembhard or Aaron Nesmith and let them cook. Like, no, that's your job, dog.
Yeah.
That's on you.
Where's his mid-range? Where's his three-level game? Like, because we've seen it. We know how good he is.
Yes.
And to watch him kind of like fade in this moment and to be such a defensive liability. Yeah, it's pretty startling.
He was actively bad last night. And still, the Pacers had the Knicks in a very, very tight game late in the fourth quarter of that one. Part of the reason the game went the way it did was because of the officiating. And we will talk about some of those officiating mistakes and how the way the NBA is officiating the league right now or officiating games right now could change the way the Kings build their team this offseason. We'll talk about that coming up on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Want to remind everybody to download and subscribe to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. What's that, you ask? That's this show in podcast form. They wouldn't let us be the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, so instead we're the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. You can get that on the free Odyssey app or your favorite podcast app. Wherever you get your podcasts, search the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. Subscribe today. You don't need to listen to it, but subscribing would be great.
Yeah. Now, give us a anything, rating and review.
Only if you like it, though.
I think we're like five it, stars, but it's only like five reviews.
It's
I
like
looked at
me,
the other day.
My mom, my dad, hopefully you, and somebody in the chat, yes. No, we're talking about the NBA playoffs. We'll talk a little bit about the Kings as well coming up, but we're talking about the Knicks and Pacers game. Jalen Brunson, incredible. Tyrese Haliburton, actively bad. Can we, real quick, Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo were great last night. That three DiVincenzo I hit, I think, to tie the game on the break, where he's above the left wing and he did like a hard step in and then decided to step back and take a three to tie that game late. Remarkable. Dante DiVincenzo's growth as a player has been super fun to watch. Josh Hart is maybe the most fun non-superstar to watch in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
He's all over the place.
Talk about a superstar in your role.
Yes.
Like, absolutely yes. Stunning what he's able to do.
Yes. Austin Rivers always says on his podcast, learn your role, change your life. Josh Hart did it.
Yeah.
With all due respect, and I mean this to Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and Dante, can we stop with the Villanova thing? We understand they all went to Villanova together.
Yeah.
We get it. Okay, yeah, they won a title. I got it. Incredible. Shout out to Jay Wright. Great job, everyone.
Yeah.
You did it. I don't need to hear about it anymore. Every time one of them does it, it's like, oh, the Villanova guy. Like, oh, right. God, it's not like they just came out.
Yeah. They are the three best friends that anyone could ever have.
And it's just, when that was a storyline early in the year, it's like, man, look at the Knicks and look at the three Villanova guys leading the way. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. What a fun thing. And just every time any of them does something, mm-hmm. we have to rave about the fact they went to Villanova. Like, all right, man, got it. It's reaching the point of, you know, those storylines of like, hey, did you know Keegan Murray has a twin brother? Or did you know Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw were friends growing up?
Mm.
Did you know Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard? It's like those kind of stories that just come up again and again and again.
Yeah.
Just tired of it.
Okay.
We're going to keep hearing it because they're going to keep winning and playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to them. Shout out to Jay Wright. Well done building the Knicks. He's done it.
You did it. World's greatest cup of coffee.
Best cup of coffee. One of the storylines of that game last night was the officiating down the stretch.
I think it's the story of the playoffs, Kyle.
The entire playoffs?
Explain, please. I think it's the story of the last 30 games of the season. I think it's a story of the first, you know, where we're at so far in the playoffs. Like, and we were going to talk about, we started talking about this before the show, and there was a moment where I was like, okay, I'm going to save this for the show because I think on occasion we come across something. I feel bad for the officials.
Why?
Because the league decided to change the way that games were going to be officiated in the second half of the season, right? And we watched the players struggle so hard to figure it out, right? And the problem is that it's not consistent from one night to the next because mm-hmm. you have different officiating crews from one night to the next. So it's almost like you know, again, we talked about this when you're watching a baseball game and the high strike isn't mm-hmm. a strike. And then all of a sudden in the fourth inning becomes a strike.
Yeah.
And everyone's looking around like, hey, man, at least call it consistently,
yes,
right?
Right.
So, but the problem is that one official group isn't calling it the same way that the next official mm-hmm. group is calling it. Well, it's because while the players are learning it, the refs are also trying to struggle to like redefine what is a foul and what isn't to them. And that's not easy. Like mm-hmm. you're changing the rubric for them on the fly. And I know we keep talking about the players, but we also have to like give the officials some leeway mm-hmm. that this is what they're being mandated to do. And it's not easy. It's not easy to change what you've always blown as a whistle. And then all of a sudden that's not a whistle. Mm-hmm. And is that a whistle or is that not? It is when Karl Anthony Towns absolutely runs over somebody, lowers his shoulder, trucks the guy, knocks him on his butt mm-hmm. and goes up and over and puts the ball in the basket. Is that an offense foul? Is it not? It is an offensive foul. That mm-hmm. was clear.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch even like Michael Malone lose his mind, right? He ran out on the court yelling F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. Like, he lost his mind.
He was trying to get teed up.
He was trying to get ejected from the game.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even get a tech.
Crazy.
Nothing. And that, to me, was the official saying, look, man, I don't know either. I don't know either because this is what I'm being told to do. And that in any other game is absolutely an offensive foul. Mm-hmm. But it's not now.
Mm-hmm.
And so how am I supposed to call it and how am I supposed to regulate it on the fly and who is their stars and who is your stars and how am I supposed to call this? And like we're watching, again, Jamal Murray not understand how to grasp the concept of being locked up where guys are grabbing and holding on to him and, mm-hmm. and walling him off and like not giving him anything. And I think at the same time, we have to give everyone some leeway here. And that's what I thought the official did last night. I thought he took a step back and said, like, I probably blew that call. But you have to understand, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here either.
Yeah.
This is tough. This is crazy. And so I think it's just a weird point of emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
And to have it change in the middle of the season as someone who's covered the NBA forever, like in right before the season starts, they have us all sit down with an NBA official.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a video. He puts it in the machine. We all watch a video. And typically it was like Willie Cauley-Stein doing something wrong.
Hilarious.
Like, and it's a league-wide video. It's not just. And so every single time we're watching the points of emphasis for this season, and then they would say, but look, this is an off-the-record conversation. We don't want you going out there and saying, what are the points of emphasis? And then, of course, you have some people who don't abide by that.
Right. They just immediately go, oh, carrying. That was a point of emphasis for the NBA this year.
Exactly. Exactly. So there are all these nuances to it. But to change the point of emphasis during the All-Star break mm-hmm. and come out with some different look, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's almost like if in the NFL, if all of a sudden, like, there was no pass interference anymore.
Yeah. Or to say, hey, lean defense on the pass interference stuff. You know, hold the flag, basically. Swallow the whistle. If you're not 100% sure, swallow the whistle.
Yeah.
And that's basically what the NBA did in the second half. But the problem I have is, I think you make a fine point there, where officiating NBA basketball at full speed, where you don't have the advantage of the upper view, you have to be like right there and there's people moving in front of you and you're trying to look over here and got to make a call, but something happened back over here that you didn't quite see. You just saw a body hit the floor. I imagine if you and I and two listeners tried to go down and officiate an NBA game, we would have no shot.
Mm-mm.
Just nothing.
Oh no, they'd want to kill us. Like 8 minutes in.
Immediately.
Yeah.
So that's, I understand that it's difficult. The problem I have is, and I also understand that the league wants you to swallow the whistle, but to what point?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just saying like, hey, it's a free for all, that gets dangerous.
Yeah, that's how fights happen.
Right, and then you have to start whistling like touch fouls and ticky tack stuff to try and gain control of the game, and everyone's going, we don't know what to do, we don't know how to play. So I say all that to say, the way the Knicks-Pacers game ended, And the way how physical that game was, it was a lot of fun. Jalen Brunson went to the free throw line 14 times, but it never felt like there were any phantom calls in there, like they were actually, he was getting hacked. There were definitely some fouls that were committed that didn't get called, which I prefer every time.
Mm-hmm.
I would way rather the game continue and a player run down the court with his palms in the air than whistling, stopping play, and defenders looking up at the screen to see that nothing happened. I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with is a marginal, at best, moving screen on Miles Turner in a huge possession late in that game because Dante DiVincenzo did a good acting job.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, and it's not, again, it's not like I said, ref was probably saw that out of the corner of his eye and went, oh, moving screen, it's going the other way. And I understand as an official, you have to theoretically call it the same for 48 minutes. But when you have been letting so many things go this entire game, and then to have this really intense moment, this really intense possession, flip on a minor foul at best, you have let way worse go throughout the game. And now all of a sudden in this moment, it's up, whistle, we're going the other way.
Mm.
That's the frustrating thing. And I imagine Indiana sitting there going, man, we've been getting hacked all game. We've been hacking all game. There's been no calls. And now this is where you decide that you're going to impose yourself on this game. That's frustrating. That's very frustrating as a player, I'm sure. I couldn't even imagine. But as a viewer, it's especially so.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then we had the other call that went the wrong way, too, where the kick, mm-hmm. which wasn't a kick at all. And then you can't review a kick.
Okay, so that's, let me pause you. In real time, I thought that was a kickball. And I see 100% how the ref got that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sticks his foot out, but in like conjunction with his hand. It didn't actually hit his foot. I don't know why in that moment, and I say this for MLB and the NFL, you have people watching in Secaucus. You have people with contact to the arena watching the game on a massive screen and going, oh, they got it wrong. Why can't you just buzz down real quick and go, hey, hang on, possession the other way, not a kickball.
Yep.
The game doesn't even have to stop.
No, I totally agree with you. That should be like a 2-second call. Now, on occasion, though, you have to, it's like a Zapruder film. You got to sit there and like look at every angle and make sure. So it is longer,
mm-hmm.
but you could just hold the action for a sec. And so we had that, like you and I were discussing this. We had that issue, right? The kickball that was called a kickball. And then we had the other play where they did review it, where mm-hmm. Tyrese Halliburton knocks the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hands mm-hmm. and gets the steal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they overturn the call, and then they say that it's Indiana ball because they had imminent possession, right? Except for on that play, Halliburton knocks it out of Jalen Brunson's hands, and I think it went to, I can't remember which one of their...
I think it was Siakam.
I think it went to Neesmith. And Neesmith punched the ball. Like, he did kick
Neesmith
the ball.
Got it.
He
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
He kicked it right to Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
Like trying to stop a pass, he kicked the ball. And it's like, okay, but how do we call that's imminent possession when he does kick the ball?
Right.
And that would have been a violation. So you probably should have had a jump ball and yeah. said, okay, look, there's no imminent possession. We need to jump it up.
Yeah.
That probably is how you should have called it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why like it's so incredibly difficult. When do you stop the action? What is a continuation of the same play? How do you call it one way where it's like you see the steal was clean, but you also see that there was a kick?
Mm-hmm.
Like there are too many things to look at.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, just get the play right. Like if you're going to review it,
mm-hmm.
just get it right.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Yes.
Don't give us some half-baked idea of what you think happened,
mm-hmm.
like just call it the way it should have been called.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And when in doubt at the end of games, swallow the whistle.
Yeah.
That's what, like we go back to the women's national championship game, women's college basketball national championship game, and there was a possession late in that one where UConn got whistled for a moving screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a moving screen for sure. But again, marginal. Like, oh, man. Like, that's tough at any moment, but especially this one. But I also understand as a ref, you're like, hey, that's a moving screen. Like, we're not going to give UConn an advantage in this spot just for the sake of, like, I get that. But also, there's no way an official saw that play by Miles Turner last night and went, oh, definite moving screen. I have to call this.
It's like the play where,
I don't know, man,
where Trey Lyles stepped in and took like an incredible charge. And then they made up a rule about his upper body was still contorting. Like, yeah, he's contorting because like a 250-pound man is running him over.
Right.
I think it was Zion. It was like someone was huge and going to run him over and did run him over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he twisted his upper body just a little bit to take the contact and to make sure he fell correctly.
Yeah.
And you're going to call that now? It's feet established.
Yeah, legal guarding position.
Legal guarding position. There is no upper body contorting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild stuff.
Doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering now, and you brought this up in our rundown, I think it's a great point. So we saw the NBA, because Adam Silver was clearly fed up with the offense, or with the lack of defense. Or rather, I think Adam Silver was fed up with foul grifting. I think that was his kind of biggest issue.
We hope, because we hate foul grifting.
Yeah. Well, was that players weren't playing basketball, they were playing to go to the free throw line.
Yeah.
Beyond the realm of, like I said yesterday, if you're Anthony Edwards and you're blowing past Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic can't do anything other than swipe at your arm as you go to the rim and you get hit and you miss your shot or whatever, fine. That is earning a foul. But if you're in the lane and you stick the ball out and start waving your arms around trying to get somebody to hit your arm and then there's contact and you flail and throw the ball in the air, that's not basketball.
Yeah.
That's foul grifting. You're just trying to go to the free throw line.
Running to the rim and just the lightest touch and you fall 15 feet into the crowd and throw the ball up in the air, mm-hmm. Luka Doncic. Like, it's...
not the name, names, Luka.
It's like the worst... It's like they literally put a rule in place for Trae Young because he would stop short. He mm-hmm. would just dribble, step in front of you and stop. Mm-hmm. And you'd run him over and be like, oh, foul.
That's a Steph move.
Well, it is, yeah. But it's also, it's made famous by Trae Young. Yeah. But it's one of those deals where you're like, okay, like, look, we got to stop these stupid things that we're mm-hmm. that we're calling fouls on.
Right.
Like, make these guys actually earn their trip to the,
right.
the line.
Right. And yeah, if a guy gets fouled, a guy gets fouled. Send him to the line.
Yeah.
It's the Joel Embiid guilty of it for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it's that Jalen Brunson even did it last night. He was down on the low block. And he's doing his pivot moves. And at one point, he does that. He brings the ball out. He straightens out his arms and puts his arms up toward the arm of the defender. Nothing there. And then he pivots back. It's like, man, what?
You know,
he's
the one guy that I watched during the season. And, you know, again, he has like his hair. He likes to throw his head back. He's a head back guy. Mm-hmm. And I saw that against the Kings. He tried it like three times early in the game. It didn't work. He's like, all right, got to play ball then. And he changes who he is right. in the game and like, I'm going for it now.
Yeah.
He gets it. He's like, okay, I'll adapt. If you're not going to call that tonight, it's okay.
So my question is, or rather your question, and I will ask you your question, is let's assume the NBA goes, hey, you know what? We liked that second half. We liked those playoffs. We're just going to start officiating games this way. This is how it is moving forward. We're swallowing whistles. We're not awarding foul grifters, or rewarding foul grifters, at least not every time. And we're going to change the way that basketball is fundamentally played. Does that alter for you the way the Kings should go about attacking their offseason?
Absolutely.
I could not agree more.
And look, I will be the first one to say, I've seen it in the chat. I love what I'm watching. I am down for this style of play. If this is where the NBA is going, I'm in.
1,000%.
I hate watching the foul grifting and just the trash.
It is so boring.
Like, this is totally fine with me if what we're going to see is this type of physicality. But if that's what we're going to see, then you better go find those guys right now. Like, Marcus Smart just became like the most valuable guy in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Like I keep bringing him up. Bobby Portis. Go get me Bobby Portis.
An enforcer.
Somebody who doesn't mind like standing up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, there are going to be fights because of this. Like,
for sure.
Because this is where like the testosterone and everything gets ramped up, where you're allowed to be physical. You're allowed to like do these crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay. If that's what we're allowed to do, game on. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that number one, you got to find like whoever it is, you got to start, you got to make a list of three or four guys that aren't just long and athletic. They're long, athletic, and they can absolutely get physical.
The Athletic does its anonymous player poll every year.
Yeah.
Go find the players that the player poll says players would least like to fight.
Oh, yeah.
And
James Johnson.
Call around.
James Johnson, you available? Like,
just have him there.
We know you can still do a roundhouse kick and hit the rim.
You don't need to play a lot. Just hang out on the bench.
Yeah. That's where I'm kind of at. Like, you do need to figure it out. You need to find guys that have another level of physicality. Well, and it's going to do away with soft players.
Totally. And I think you kind of see it a little bit with Evan Mobley in these playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
With the Cavs. Like, guys, really good player, but maybe not built for this.
Yeah.
And that's where I already thought, and we talked about this during the regular season a lot, I already thought the Kings needed more dogs. That's why I think Keon Ellis had such a major impact. Now, he's very, very good at basketball, but there was a mindset that just forced everybody around him to play at the level he was playing at defensively that you weren't going to get. There were things you lost when Kevin Huerter went out, but then there were things you gained when Keon Ellis came in. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things they gained for sure. And that's why even before the officiating stuff, it's like, man, they need more guys like this.
Yeah.
They need more players who are going to bring this level of intensity, who are going to bring this level of dog. So I was already on board. But now, if you know that the NBA, if the NBA calls, it sends out a memo that's like, hey, by the way, this is the league now. Buckle up. I'm 1,000%. I'm going, hey, maybe you shoot 31% from three, but people aren't going to mess with you. Or you're willing to go take a hard foul or give a hard foul.
Yeah.
That's where maybe you prefer to have a guy like that on your bench. Maybe all of a sudden Chris Duarte is super valuable.
No. He does know how to foul people. He does. I know that for a fact.
Dude, if he's going to get less whistles or fewer whistles? Fewer whistles. Why not?
No, it's very true. I just don't know. Like, he's got to be able to fit into a system. But yeah, I'm certainly, like I told you early on, like the player that the Nuggets miss right now, you can see it, is Bruce Brown.
Big time.
Go get Bruce Brown, because Bruce Brown is that guy.
Not only from a defense perspective, but from a shot creation perspective.
Yeah.
They have nothing on that end.
Well, that, and even like we talked about, like the Warriors are in cap hell, right? And one of the moves they're going to have to make, mm-hmm. most likely, is they have an $8 million contract on Kevon Looney for next season, or $3 million buyout. Mm. Like, I think Looney has lost his fastball quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that he's in, like, physically can maintain. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's who we're talking about. We're talking about a dude who does not mind going toe-to-toe and getting in somebody's face and pushing and pushing and pushing. And to me, that's like, okay, you're going to buy him out. Yeah, 15, I would take him.
15 minutes a night from Kevon Looney?
Yeah, give him your biannual exception of $4 million. Yeah, okay.
I would do that so quick.
Yeah.
He's only 28.
He's 28, yeah. But he's also
just turned 28.
He's a Mike Brown guy.
Yes.
And so I think like he could have a revitalized career as your backup big and play 15 minutes a night behind Sabonis. And he's shown the ability to not only rebound, but also pass.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
These are things.
Just super high IQ player.
Yeah. So that's one of those moves where I could see the Kings like jumping in and being like, look, this is right for us.
If you want to see something shocking, go watch Kevon Looney college highlights. Dude used to be able to move, bro. Doing little crossovers, little baseline jumpers. It was nuts. And then he had his hip injuries. But no, Kevon Looney is the exact type of player where you're going, yeah, in an NBA where you need a big who can stand down there and kind of dole out some punishment and take some, I'd give Kevon Looney 15 minutes a night on any team.
Yeah. It's funny the way that players transfer from college to pro and how they are so much. So, you know, Kevin Durant, I think I'm almost positive in his 1 year at Texas, led the NCAA in scoring and rebounding. Right? He was one of the great rebounders.
That sounds right.
Right? You know who the player was before that that led the NCAA in rebounding and scoring. And actually, I think he did it 2 years in a row.
Jason Kidd.
Kurt Thomas.
Oh.
You get to the pros and you're like, wait, he led the NCAA in scoring? Like, yeah.
This guy did?
Yeah, Kurt Thomas. Like, crazy. That's what it was. You know, it's just a different game. And when you get to the pros, so yeah, it doesn't surprise me that there are players out there that that make a big difference, that look different on the pro court.
Kevin Durant, 25.8 points, 11.1 boards, shooting 47.3% from the field and 40.4% from three.
Mm.
This is one season in college.
Kurt Thomas, his final year in college.
Please.
At Texas Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
28.9 points, 14.6 rebounds.
Ridiculous. That's insane. All right. We have to take a break. Second hour coming up. We'll continue to talk about team building. We'll continue talking about the NBA playoffs. All that coming up right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.